Hello.
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 Hello. Hello Adorn presents
Jewelry and Stuff,
a podcast about jewelry
and almost everything else.
Whoa.
Rich.
Low.
I am already giggling with excitement. I'm so excited to talk to our guest today.
I know. We can't even, it's going to be hard to stretch this one out. Okay, but we can't wait.
But we'll,
we can't wait.
We'll stretch
Go
it out.
Jump in straight in.
30 minutes. 30,
we'll
40 minutes before we bring
anyway.
Our guest on.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. We can't wait that long. We need her now.
Because that's what we do. No, we can't. We need Lo's famous intro.
Such an honor.
Introduce
to
our
have her here. We have
guest.
A jam-packed schedule. So let me kick it off by saying, Britney Spears said it best when she said, "We are so lucky to have today's guest on the pod." Do you know that reference?
So lucky.
I've known our guest for all of a month, but she's the type of person that cares so deeply and like really, really, really listens. It didn't take long for it to feel like Sam has known me for truly ever. She like knows a lot about me and we've only been friends for a month. She's a teacher, a talented jeweler, a squirrel whisperer, more on that later, business owner, Seattle resident, and like many of us at Hello Adorn, she's an avid student of the Zodiac, unlike Rich on this call. Sam rivals Jess with her coffee consumption and she gives Adam a run for his money with the size of her compassionate heart. It's like big. She's got a big heart.
Whoa.
This is not a visual medium, but my hands are like visualize a really, really big, like pumpkin sized heart. Like it's a massive heart. She cares a lot. She taught her makers how to solder and stone set. I'm going to get really cheesy, but I think she taught me how to be like a stronger leader in the 3 days that she was here, which was really unexpected. She hasn't wrote a book on leadership yet, but she probably will, or at least she should. I'm going to throw my name in the ring right now to come up with a punny book title. I would love to help you out, Sam, on that. After she left, all of us literally looked at one another in a big circle and were just kind of like, how did we get so lucky? Like, how did our paths cross with this absolute gem of a human? And now she's agreed for whatever reason to talk to Rich and I for several minutes here. Amazing. Sweet listeners, please welcome your tiny twist adorning ears. We've got Sam Slater here in the house. Hello, Sam.
Oh.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, Sam. Did you know... Lo somehow worked into that a bunch of like business offers and requests, and also what should have been the closing of a really heartwarming TV special. You know, like she came here to teach us soldering and stone setting, but really,
we learned so much
more. She actually taught us our hearts.
I know. I'm like crying, smiling over here. It's the best intro I've ever had.
I know. I've told Rich, I talked about this on the podcast already, but the way that like, Sam, the way that you were so patient with our makers and the way that you're like, she was like assembling these little like breakout groups where she had everyone make a cup of tea and like namaste style sitting cross-legged on the floor, just like really asked how people were doing. Like learning stuff is hard. And she was like very understanding about that and very accommodating to all the different learning styles here. I feel like we hired you to teach soldering and stone setting, but I feel like those of us who aren't in maker positions were like, oh, so that's how you do it. Huh. Interesting.
You taught us how to be good human beings.
Thanks. I want to say too, Lo, I can't believe that you called me out on my secret dream of writing a book. How did you know?
Not so secret. Get out. Uh-huh. Okay, tell me what the premise is. It just that you want to write a book, or are you throwing around ideas for what you want the theme to be? What do we have in mind? Is it a leadership book? How to be a leader?
Well, no. So it's always been teaching jewelry in some way, shape, or form, but I think a leadership-y thing would be better, right?
Could be a both. Could be a combination. There's a, you know, it could be a mix of both. No one seems to like that idea, so maybe back to the leadership idea.
I was like, wait.
Sam,
I don't
Sam
know.
Sam and I were just
Rich,
like,
that would
uh-huh?
be hard.
No, I'm just
politely, no.
You could use it as, I'm still not done pitching the bad idea. You could use the stone setting and soldering as the metaphor into the leadership. Okay,
well,
I'll see myself.
We are done
but anyway,
here,
there's
so
no bad idea.
I'm just kidding. Totally kidding.
We lost our entire audience.
Wait, how did I get muted?
Come back.
All right, well, fine.
We'll circle back on this leadership book idea, though, because I feel like learning that, like some of your tricks, you're like clearly not, you're not trying to like sell your leadership style. It's just something you like have, and like that's who I want to learn leadership from. Like it's so effortless to you. That's why I want to steal your secrets.
You're so sweet though.
Starting with this idea to write a book.
Yeah, steal my book idea. But honestly, I feel like there's this way for me that I've been trying to cultivate my inner child in my creative process and my learning. And your inner child really struggles with being mean to themselves. And we tend to really be the most hard on ourselves, right? And then especially in this creative moment where you're at your most vulnerable. So I try to see myself as the teacher in this space where my students are at their most vulnerable. And if I'm not providing them a safe space to explore and play, be creative, get in touch with that inner child, if I'm, you know, being dogmatic or making them learn in a certain way that doesn't resonate for them, their inner child's just going to crash, right? Not have a good time. You're not going to learn. So I try to really cultivate that vulnerability and make sure that they feel safe and then they can explore and play and learn and come away with something valuable.
Wow.
That's the end of the first TED Talk of the episode.
This is a free podcast. Yeah. This is a free podcast.
We give this
people
information away for free. Incredible.
Okay, we obviously have to get into that more. That is wise beyond what could have possibly been expected. But to set the table first, and luckily in this episode, the lucky thing is that Sam has come up on here, I think on maybe 4 or 5 episodes before, especially one not so long ago where Lo filled us all in on the recent visit and everything. So at least people do have a little bit of an idea, but we should start from the beginning and get into some origin story stuff, how you came to be, a little bit about your studio, everything like that.
We gave more of a review or more of an overview of what Sam was doing here, but Sam is from Seattle and flew into Eau Claire for 3 days, like a 3-day intensive soldering and stone setting workshop for our 8 makers, and left, like, gave them all the tools they needed and all the skills they needed. And now they're kind of deep in practice with all these new skills. And then we just said, we got to get Sam on the pod because we're obsessed with her and she's really wise and we want to keep chatting with her. So that's why we're here today.
Even before that, the reason that all came to be is Jess flew to Seattle, which as we said in previous episode, but Jess flew to Seattle and learned all these skills from Sam. And that's when she said, well, we got to bring this person. While she was still there, I think she was like, it was night one or afternoon. Yeah, we were talking to her. She was practicing in her hotel bathroom. And she was like, I think we got to get this person to come to, like, we got to get
cool
to come to Eau Claire and teach everyone this. She was already.
And in, like, so maybe not just visit, maybe how, move potentially. Changed. Just going to keep planting that seed there.
Uh-oh.
Low. Don't give away the
plan. Later on the pod.
Subtle.
And even before
more
that.
Subtle.
Yeah. And even before Jess's trip, it all started with a simple Google search looking for soldering schools in the US. And we found Samantha Slater Studio, which is just crazy.
So Sam can probably also teach an SEO course. So there's,
yeah,
there's,
no, I mean, this, oh, book, not, is getting, not,
this book is like 900 pages.
I don't know about that.
But you're the one who you're the one who came up. So there you go. But anyway, back to the origin. So you moved from South Africa in, what year was that? About 2000?
I think 2003, 2004. It's blurry because I was waiting for my green card, which I won through the green card lottery, which is a wild story. And so I was like coming back and forth to Seattle and then back to South Africa. I had a boyfriend here who's working for Microsoft. And so I was coming to visit him and back and forth. And there's kind of a dream as a South African when you're done with school and maybe high school into university or after university, you go travel overseas for a year or two. And so my sort of dream was not to go to the UK like most people were doing, but to come to America. And part of that meant getting a green card.
Right. Okay. Well, that's why Seattle. So 2003, 2004, you arrive in Seattle, and that's, some of this is from gleaming from your site. There was a period of time where you weren't able to work, obviously, probably when you were in green card limbo and that sort of thing. Is that when you started to self-educate on jewelry making, soldering, that kind of thing?
Yeah, no soldering at that point. So that was like dabbling in sort of wire and beads and hammering things and stamping and that sort of stuff. It's only 5 or 6 years ago that I actually started soldering in earnest.
Oh, wow.
I actually had to take the basic soldering sort of classes that I took at a little school here in Seattle. I took, I think, 3 times before I really felt confident because there's just so much to it. And they normally teach them with really big tanks like acetylene. And I was in a small apartment and I was on a very tight budget. And so didn't really have the capacity to do that. And then I realized, so 5 or 6 years ago, coworker was like, no, you know, you can solder with those tiny butane torches. And I was like, say what?
What?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, let me try this. And so literally like a creme brulee torch is what I started messing around with. And that's actually what I was using for my entire production line up until 2 years ago. So you can do a lot with those tiny babies.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Do you make creme brulee too? Have you tried making creme brulee in the kitchen?
I actually haven't. Do we not? But I should. I love creme brulee.
Much easier to buy. It's much easier to buy. At what point did you, when you were tinkering initially with jewelry, at what point did you decide you wanted to make a business out of it?
So I kind of, yeah, I kind of wanted to have my own business for a long time. I worked for a lot of other little crafty companies and a couple of other jewelers. And I just really wanted I wanted autonomy. I wanted to be able to sort of dictate my own finances, and I was kind of hitting the glass ceiling in a lot of respects with these other little businesses. And I didn't honestly like how a lot of them managed their teams. I didn't think they were fair to the people who worked for them. So I really, really wanted to have my own thing going. And my whole plan was to start my little business while working at another company and sort of build it up slowly on the side. That's doesn't ever really work out, I think, in reality, especially for me. I get tunnel vision with a thing and I just got to focus on it and do it, or I'm halfway, it's not going to go anywhere for me. And I stopped working there and dived into my little business. It's going to be 5 in February, and it's been crazy, awesome, amazing, hard work, like the hardest work I've ever done in my life, but the most fulfilling, best thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow. All the places you were at before, were they all jewelry companies?
Yeah, a lot of them were jewelry. My first couple jobs in Seattle were not. Like, I worked for UPS and I worked for a gelato shop and that sort of thing. But I had a handful of jobs. I worked for like a bead store, and then I ran their creative team on their website. And then I worked for a handful of jewelers just sort of on the side. So I've got, you know, a little bit of experience in the craft industry and a little bit of experience in like small jewelry business industry.
If you were looking back at like the early days of Samantha Slater Studio, what's something in hindsight that you would want to go back and like give yourself advice on, or like to like a new entrepreneur that's starting a business? What's something like, what's a little nugget of information that you're like, I wish I remembered that? I'm going rogue on the schedule. I didn't ask you to prepare this question.
No, I love this
question.
Sometimes
these are the best answers.
It's good. Yeah. So there's a way that we doubt ourselves constantly. And if I had trusted my own power and my own instinct early on and just kind of stuck to my gut with some things, I tended to say yes to everything. And that could invite potentially a weird relationship with a store that maybe wasn't the best for my business, or a difficult relationship with a customer where maybe we weren't the right fit for each other. Things like that. I haven't had any drastic, like touch wood, bad things happen or challenging situations, but I've had some times where I'm like, dang it, I really should have trusted my gut and kind of felt my own power in that. So yeah, I would say that. And then build your community. Make sure you have people around you who get it and sort of are in the same boat so you can lean on each other. Having fellow small business friendships is really important. And don't scrump on photography. Just pay a photographer and get good photos.
One thing Sam said when she was here, there was like a couple like soldering questions that had kind of maybe like stumped you, or you didn't have like the right answer you wanted to give. And you're like, let me go back to like my mentor. Let me go back to my like support group and like ask this to the team, which I thought was so cool. Cause you were like, you're an expert, but you were like, I still like use my support squad for like ideas and brainstorms. Like, I don't have all the answers. I have a lot of the answers, but I just thought that was cool that you're like, you're leaning on other people too. And like, yeah, definitely using your community for support.
I was just going to ask if you wanted to, some examples of that community that you do talk to, whether you want to shout out some other of your business friend network, or whether it's just people who you like. I think it's nice to hear some of the details of what that network looks like and how you kind of support each other and skill sets.
Yeah, there's a handful, actually. There's a little company called Wholesale in a Box, and she has an offshoot called One Mill School. It's currently on hiatus, but I'm hoping she'll bring it back soon. I met a lot of fellow makers through that. I'll give you the info low and you can like have website stuff. One Mill School is a great resource for makers who are building wholesale. And then just taking classes in things like how to cultivate your newsletter, how to brand your website, how to hire a photographer or a product assistant or whatever. One More School has been instrumental in helping. I've got a team, well, a community of four of us. Shayna Luther makes leather purses. She's in New York area. Aisha Formansky, she makes jewelry. Her business is Everdyne Jewelry. She's in your neck of the woods. And then Cindy Liebel, she has Cindy Liebel Design. She's also a jeweler. She's in Virginia, I think, if I recall correctly. We meet weekly. We talk on Zoom. We talk all things business. And then sometimes Shayna tolerates us talking all things jewelry, like techniques or schools we want to try out or a tool we discovered that we love. So they're definitely a huge part of my community. But then there's a massive maker community in Seattle, and I have more than I could count friends and fellow small business humans that we are constantly going to each other's shows, buying each other's work, giving each other shout outs. Like, it's just the most sweet, magical, amazingness. Yeah.
That's great.
And Sam, I think everyone wants you in their squad because not only are you like a very talented, knowledgeable artist, but you're also like the ultimate cheerleader who's building everyone around you up. So it makes sense. You've got a wide community.
Yeah. But I feel like I have people who do just as much goodness like that as I do. Like, I feel very, very privileged. Very lucky.
Can we go to present day Samantha Slater Studio and talk a little bit about just like what a day in the life looks like for you right now?
Yeah. So I guess in all honesty, it's very different depending on the day and depending on the time of year. Currently, my studio is outside of my house. It's like attached, but you can enter it from the garden. So when I teach, people don't have to come into my home. We just go down the side of the house and into the back. It's really cute. It's small. It's filled with other makers' goodies and art and tools. And it's just a really special, sweet space for me.
And there's an incredible mural on the outside that Sam painted, like the most beautiful mural.
Oh, thanks.
And an incredible garden that which you can all will link to the site. You can see all this on her site, but it looks like just a little slice, a little slice of paradise.
It really feels like paradise. It's a very special space. Worked hard to make it magical. But I tend to balance teaching and shows because I can't be everywhere all at once. And so I'll have sections of time that I allot to keep my schedule open for teaching. But then I have months in the year when I'm closed for teaching because I'm just back to back with like events. So currently I'm not teaching until September, and then I'll be open September, October, a little bit in November, and then closed December, January because of all my shows. And then January, I think I want to try to go home. So we'll see. And then I try to balance jewelry making with website stuff, with newsletter stuff. I mean, I'm literally like wearing all hats with like bookkeeping and all that not so fun stuff.
Don't you love how sales tax works in the US? Isn't it awesome?
You know, if they could just make it a little more complicated, I would appreciate it.
If they just could, they could really eliminate all small businesses, I think. Just a little more complicated, and I think they could actually destroy.
Just add one more sentence and my mind will be blown.
One more.
Yeah, it's hard. It's
anyway,
very hard.
We could vent about that for an hour.
But I have a production assistant. She's amazing. Her name is Haley Starr. She's also a jeweler. She has a line of enamel work, which is really stunning. She started off as my student, and then actually in just conversation, she was like, so if you ever wanted to trade classes for me working for you, I'd be down. And I was like, okay. And so we started off doing trade where I basically like taught her things, and then she would make up the time by, you know, instead of paying me, she would work for me. And then I eventually was like, oh, I want you to just carry on working for me. So she comes once a week or so. She helps a lot, not just like, so she'll like cut chain and cut wire and so get it all ready, and then I'll do all the soldering and finishing and whatever. But more than anything, she like helps me focus because it can be a little difficult to like stick to a task when it's just you in a space.
Totally.
And you've got 4 million things that you could be doing. Yeah.
Exactly.
And like your home is right there too.
Exactly. And my dog is outside playing with the squirrels. It's just like so many temptations, so many ways I could not be working.
What helps you, like, besides your PA, what helps you like really get in the zone? Like, how do you set yourself up for like a really productive work session? Coffee?
Working out and eating well. Like a good cardio workout to kind of get the blood going. And then like granola and blueberry breakfast with, yes, lots of coffee. That helps me focus. Sitting down and writing a list of what I want to accomplish in the day that is not too long.
I love a list.
Yeah. But like 5 things I know I can do, because I want to be able to be like, well done, good job, you did it. And then go move on to the next thing if I have time. But don't make myself too overwhelmed or I won't do it.
That's such good advice. Adam told me like something very similar yesterday. He was like, I think you need to make a month long list, but then you need to start making like daily lists. Cause I feel like at the end of the day, I set myself up with like 20 tasks and I get to like 3 of them. And so then every day I'm like, oh my God.
An achievement.
Yeah. I didn't do anything today. It's like, no, you just got to choose like, what are your 3 to-dos and then be done with those in the day and feel good about it.
And then a good trick is get cute little post-it notes. And you have your bigger projects on those post-it notes. And so then you could just move them on to the next day's task list. And you don't have to keep rewriting stuff. It's helpful.
Love that. I want to remind everyone that's listening, we are giving this information. Sam's giving this away for free.
Free.
For free.
Free information. It will be in my book, though.
I want to add to the intro that I gave you that I think Sam is like my like personal keynote speaker. Like anytime I talk to you, Sam, I feel like I'm like, yeah. I feel like I get like so pumped up and like motivated.
You guys can't see, but Lo has been just pumping her arms the whole time and just absolutely, almost dancing during this entire episode. So it's a shame you can't see it. But yeah.
Well, I have had to mute myself multiple times because I am just kind of screaming over here like, yes, this is great.
Actually, you know what, though? Like if you stand in a star shape, if you feel terrible and you stand in a star shape for a couple minutes, you'll feel like you can take over the world. See, more free advice.
I love that. Yes.
There you go.
That's incredible.
And if it doesn't make you feel powerful, you'll at least feel silly.
Exactly. You'll laugh at yourself.
A little giggle.
And then you're into a good spot. Yeah. Either way, it works. Either way.
If people haven't looked at Sam's website yet, you need to check it out. She has like a lot of, I don't even know how to describe your work. It's like very, like you have a lot of like organic shapes. Like they're all like very, everything is like very, very unique and one of a kind and like has a story behind it. Can you tell us kind of like where you get some of that inspiration from? Like some of your like more unique pieces, where do you find inspiration?
Yeah. So that is based, I guess it's the Mesa collection that you're referring to. And all of those shapes were based off of a trip to the desert where I went on long hikes and sort of sat in the bush, so to speak, and just started drawing shapes that I could see around me. Took a ton of photos and just was kind of obsessed with the surrounding rock formations and the way the blue sky and the sort of deserty colors and saguaro cactuses and all that sort of hung out together. I really love the desert, even though I don't know that I could live there.
Are we talking New Mexico?
Oh, Arizona? Yeah. So actually, New Mexico, as well as California, Joshua Tree area. And then, Arizona. So multiple trips, multiple deserts. And then, I mean, my country has got lots of deserty landscapes, but it's not typical of, it doesn't look the same as American deserts do. I'm hoping also to go to Utah in October, potentially, and really soak up some of those vibes. But anyway, so most of the Mesa collection is based on desert landscape, desert shapes, and just how I kind of, there were some curves in there that I really liked, some little nooks and crannies that felt like home in a way, like a shelter almost. And so, I actually have, I think it's still on my website, a picture of all my drawings of those shapes initially. And then I just sort of colored in the ones that I liked the most. And then I transferred those into metal. And then I decided I wanted to add gemstones. So it just kind of progresses from a little seed of an idea into more. And then I'm kind of sitting with those shapes and I'm messing around with them on my bench. And I'm like, well, that's cool, but it just seems kind of obvious. So like, how can I make it less obvious? I found this vintage brass chain that I ended up adding to some of the designs. So those are in the Mesa earrings, the Rondavel earrings, it's the Feels Like Velvet earrings, necklace, bracelet. It's this really slinky snake chain that's got like a little bit of volume to it and it just moves really beautifully. So that incorporated with these shapes, it's like a feeling. It felt right, felt unusual enough and sort of well-rounded that I was like, okay, that's going to be the thing.
You can tell there's like a lot of intention behind your pieces and the art you create. It's like very obvious that you know what you're doing creatively and put a lot of thought into your process. Is there something from the Mesa collection, or I guess in general on your site, do you have a favorite piece right now that is like really speaking to you?
I think forever the Feels Like Velvet earrings will be a favorite. They feel like the most me design I've ever made. They're kind of weird. They're a little bit loud and unusual. They don't quite fit in, but then they're also quite, like, they're just kind of right. So it feels a little bit like me in that, like, I feel weird. I feel awesome sometimes. I feel like I don't fit in, but then sometimes I feel like it's quite right.
These earrings are you as a person, or as a earring. Like, this is you.
I feel like
this is you in jewelry form.
Yeah, exactly. And then also the stud, the like bar, is separate. So you can wear the tiny little bar on its own, or you can wear the bar with the chain in front of your ear, or the bar with the chain in the back of your ear. You could also trade out the bar for a gemstone stud, which is actually what I've been rocking lately. And that just feels like chef's kiss. Amazing.
We love a choose your own adventure.
Right?
We love a choose your own adventure. That is always the best.
What is like the most difficult piece on your site to make for you?
Probably the most complicated and takes the longest are my gemstone rings. Currently, most of they're like a choose your own gemstone. Tell me your ring size and then I'll make it for you. I launched those in April. They were amazingly successful, but I didn't realize I wouldn't ever get faster at making those rings. They just take as long as they take. So it is what it is. But they're so cool. And I feel like my customers get the opportunity to get a personal sort of spin on a thing where they get to choose the stone. So it's been a really sweet way to offer custom, but with boundaries.
I'm looking at the Gemstone Dreams ring listing and I'm trying to add 500 to my cart, but it's not letting me. Do you have a cap on how many someone can order at once?
Oh, I should do. Not on my wholesale website, though.
I'll need the keys to that castle.
I have to give you the login for that.
Did Lo just describe your worst nightmare? You wake up and you've got 500 custom. You're like, oh, great. Wonderful. That's great.
I just stop hearing from Sam. She just like doesn't text me anymore.
It's this weird balance though. And I feel like this is the small business conundrum. You get so excited when you get the order and then you're like, oh God, now I have to make it all. It's tricky. Cause it's also like, what are you telling the universe if you're like dreading the thing you've been waiting for, you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Right. But I think that's fair and natural. I mean, that also sounds like I think we've told the story before, but when Jess and Adam first got approached by Anthropology and they were like, you know, put in this thing and they were just like, there's no way we can do this. You know, it was like the most exciting and yet the most terrifying all at once. I think that's a fair split of emotion. I think that's okay.
We always talk about here, like we close on the weekends, like we go home on the weekends, but you're an online shop, you're always open. So how do you like remind yourself to give breaks? Like how do you recharge and make sure you're giving yourself time to like take care of yourself?
There is an ebb and flow in my business for sure. I have busy seasons and I have slower seasons. I am making sure now, sort of in the fourth, fifth year of my business, I know very clearly now what those ebbs and flows are. So making sure that in the time that's slow, I take a vacation. And in the time that's busy, I'm just going to be working all the time. That's just what it is. And then in between, I have little rewards I'll give myself. Like I'll go get a facial or I'll go get my nails done. Or I'll make sure I'll go like have a sweet girly dinner with my friends, even though it's like killing me to have 2 hours off or whatever. But I'll make sure I get those little pockets of, I guess, infusion of joy and rest. Because otherwise I'll burn out.
Yeah, that setting of expectation makes a big difference. Like if you know what you're in for and you're like, this is just what it is, it can make it way, way easier to deal with that.
And potentially more tolerable too. Do you have a favorite stone? Like a stone that's really speaking to you right now?
I will always be an opal addict, I guess. I really, really love opals and it's my birthstone. So I feel like I'm allowed to have this deep obsession. Fire opal in particular is really magical. It's very different from a regular opal. There's like a seam of sparkliness. So they're much more unusual, I feel like, than a regular sort of Australian opal.
Do you have those on your site, the fire opal?
I do, yeah.
You do, okay.
Yeah, in the choose your own gemstone ring section, I have fire opals available. I do love them. They're yummy. So probably those. They're tricky. They're very, very soft. So they're a little bit more nerve-wracking to work with. They will crack more easily. if you go anywhere near them with any kind of sandpaper, they'll just crumble. So you gotta be careful with those babes. But they're awesome.
High stakes.
Yeah, very.
Rich, what's yours?
Does the dramatic music immediately start every time you grab
dun, one? Dun, dun, dun. Like...
Yeah.
The sweat starts pouring. Yeah.
Okay, this is actually one that I'm not even going to say this right. I'm just going to go ahead and acknowledge that. But Chalcedony?
Chalcedony.
Yep, that's what I said.
That's exactly what you said.
We're saying the same thing. Anyway, that one, that's new to me, but I'm drawn to that. That's pretty
cool.
Yeah, Chalcedony's awesome.
I think that's kind of neat.
It comes in a range, too, of these, like, from, like, tropical sea greenish all the way to, like, clear blue, sky blue. It's really, really a gorgeous stone. Yeah.
It's giving me real, tropical oceany vibes of various types.
Good choice.
So thank you, Sam. That was very safe and welcoming. And Lo, yours sounded a little sarcastic.
Yeah, we'll erase Lo's sarcasm. Lo, what's yours?
Okay. I don't remember. You told me what it's called. It's like the greenish. Can you see this? Do you remember what this is called? It's like the greenish, bluish one.
Aventurine.
Yes. Yes, aventurine.
Well, you didn't even give it a shot to pronounce yours, Lo.
Well, Rich, I saw how you failed. No, I'll actually admit that I've seen Chalcedony written so many times and I never know how to pronounce it. Now I know. So thank you, Rich, for looking like a fool. And I...
And I'm just kidding. How not to pronounce it. Oh, a fool. Okay, good.
Rich, you have to look at it though. Like, you did a good enough job that I knew what you were saying. Right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I know what you're trying. Yeah, I got you. I know, you're sounding it out the way you think it would be. Yeah, I totally get it.
That's called passing. There you go.
Sam, do you have anything you'd like to plug for the upcoming months for Samantha Slater Studio? Anything like your new followers coming from this podcast can look forward to in these upcoming months?
Ooh, I am going to be launching more turquoise choose your own gemstone rings, hopefully in September. There will be two or three new designs coming along with that for you to choose, like if you want the arches or if you want the whatever, you'll see what's going to happen next. So there'll definitely be more rings, and I'm going to get them in early for holiday shopping. So I'm not trying to get you your Christmas presents the day before Christmas. Yeah.
Thinking of the people.
Yeah.
Thinking of the people. Very good.
Yeah. Trying. Plan ahead, people.
Okay, Sam, tell us about we glossed over this really early at the beginning, but tell us when Hello Dorn first came on your radar.
To be really honest, I feel like you've always been in my world, and I think that's just because I love you all so much.
Get out of here. She weeping. Said it exactly as we asked her to. Can you believe how well she delivered that line?
Thank you, Sam, for pulling up the script.
I read my
for this
script
part.
Really well.
Such a good reading. Such a good reading. No notes. Okay, go back to saying the real thing. I can't believe I got in the way of that.
No, for real. I was like, oh, huh. I have no idea when Hello Adorn first appeared on my radar. Because also, you know, I was talking to my friends about going to a clan, you know, and Jess coming. And a lot of my friends were like, oh, I know Hello Adorn. So you're in our periphery for sure. I would say, though, probably when you reached out to me and you and Jess started talking about classes. Probably, because I don't really know.
It is just wild. Like, when I first emailed you, I asked that question. And I'm like, I know exactly. I emailed you on January, whatever, 2022.
Yeah.
But it is wild. I think of, like, when I first started messaging you, I was never going to be like, oh, yeah, Sam's going to become, like, a pal. And Sam's going to come to Eau Claire.
I know. I never would have imagined.
The universe works in some wild ways. Yeah.
It's really sweet. Yeah.
Thank goodness we found you.
Well, I feel like I've met my people, in all honesty. Like, everyone I've met who Jess and Adam have brought into their bubble, just you all feel like my people. It's such a sweet, amazing community.
You're going to get a hard agree on everyone. I heard an account fresh from after your departure. So hard agree from everyone I talked to.
You haven't responded to any of the house listings that I've been sending you. Have you been getting those listings, Sam?
There's some good.
I'm just kidding. But I do think I'm going to start.
You should. I would love that.
When you start to see Eau Claire real estate versus Seattle, you're going to be...
I was going to say, you could get a lot for your money. Sam moves to Eau Claire and has like a pool and like a gymnasium. Like, she's like, I don't really want any of this, but it was so cheap.
Oh, don't even.
She's like, it was the same as my rent. Yeah. This mansion was the same as my rent. So
yeah, exactly. It's wild over here. It's wild.
Can you give us... So you were here for three quick days. Can you give us... Like the solder school, stone setting school, at Hello Adorn from your perspective and just things that you noticed and kind of an overview of your time here at Hello Adorn?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what I told you. Well, I'll tell you again what I told you already. I was skeptical of the love and kind of how everyone adores each other and how sweet everybody is. You can see it on Instagram. And I was like, Instagram's not real.
I'm not buying it.
Yeah, I was like, there's a catch. There's a catch. And then I got there and I was like, oh, whoa, there's zero catch. Like, this is actually how it is. That was really just so much better than I ever could have imagined. I was stressed out. I was worried. I didn't know like how it was going to go. It was, you know, eight people I hadn't met before. And, you know, Lo, you and I had chatted, but we hadn't met. So like, I just really had no idea how it would be in person. And it was even more magical and sweet and loving than I ever could have imagined. It's probably some of the best days I've ever had, to be honest. Like, it was so good. Also, like, I was in my element. I was teaching. I was doing what I love so, so much. So of course it's going to be awesome, right? I just also found Eau Claire to be so quaint and sweet, and it was really quiet, which I didn't expect. Also, I think coming from Seattle anywhere might be quiet. It's become like such a crazy, crazy place. But yeah, I really loved all the architecture and the brick buildings, and I could pretty much walk anywhere. And then I got thunderstorms, which are my favorite. I got to like walk in the rain one evening with no shoes on, which made me super happy.
Nice.
Yeah, there was just a lot of, there was really good food. And then we found like a really cute little local shop, and I got records for my husband. So there was just like all the ticks in the box, which is perfect. Yeah, Rich, you don't know about my husband's record collection.
You said a dangerous word.
You don't even know.
You said the word.
Okay, I'm not going to subject our podcast listeners to this, but
we could
we need to talk about that. We should. We won't do this to you people, but Sam and I are going to talk more about records.
Yeah. Big time.
What was it like? Are your class sizes, are you usually one-on-one with people? Or like, have you had that many people in a class? Is that typical to have eight students? Or was that?
I haven't had eight students in a very, very long time. I used to teach at several schools in the area, which closed off, you know, with COVID and whatnot. And we've never really gone back to big classes. So the most I'll currently teach is six. And I usually don't teach more than six soldering. Just because a beginner with a torch, you got to keep your eyes on everybody.
What was in Eau Claire, Sam? What was the best meal or best coffee that you had? Is there like a place that stood out?
Yeah, and I'm actually going to forget the name of the little coffee shop that's in the hotel.
Oh, ECDC.
Yes. You got me a lavender latte the one morning, and then I got a rose latte the next day. And both of those were because they make their own simple syrup, and it was out of this world. I love that. And then the hotel restaurant?
Yeah, Informalist.
Yes, the Informalist. The first night I got in late and I ended up getting a burger from them, and it was like the best thing I've ever had in my whole life, which could have been a combination of traveling all day, but also the delicious burger. Oh, I was also stoked because I don't drink alcohol and they had several non-alcoholic drinks on the menu, which always make me really happy. And they had a really delicious like lime cherry non-alcoholic mocktail, which was like, mwah. Amazing.
That sounds great.
A lot of restaurants are really up in their mocktail game these days.
Digging it.
There's some good stuff out there. Some good stuff. The Lismore, ECDC, Informalist, that whole hub is a great, I mean, that's a downtown favorite.
Yeah, really awesome.
As far as just anything else that stood out to you that was, you obviously knew a lot about Hello Adorn from having seen before and, you know, met Jess and all that stuff. Was there anything else aside from that what you've said so far that surprised you about the space or the people or anything else, anything that struck you?
Maybe not surprised so much as just confirmed. The space is absolutely stunning. It's just such a gorgeous HQ. And then the little shop too, just opened it up one night for me to have a little private shopping experience. And that was really magical. She's definitely good at styling, branding, space, plants, like, oh, it's got homey, cozy, minimalist, boho, just really lovely vibes. I got to go to—
That's a Taurus and Jess, as you know.
Oh, yes, for sure. I did get invited to Adam's birthday party on Monday night, which was ping pong craziness, and it was so cool. I unfortunately let my anxiety of playing get the better of me, and I probably should have played. But I didn't. I just felt like jelly after the day of teaching and 2 days of, you know, traveling and all the stuff. But
well, you packed a lot into those 3 days.
Yeah.
And that's an intense event as well. That's an intense event.
It was intense.
It's competitive.
75 good looking people playing ping pong. Very seriousness. Actual tennis outfits. And there were prizes. And there was an athlete warm-up area. And then there was the little tiered, like, 1, 2, 3 winner station area. I was like, ooh, this is definitely serious business. Yeah.
Jess does not do half-assed events. It's just, even when she's got nothing left in the tank, she's still
going all in.
A full production together. Yeah, that was something.
But sitting there, I was like, everyone Jess and Adam have surrounded themselves by is now considered family. And I think that is amazing.
Sam, when you had your private shopping sesh, what jewelry items did you purchase? What were your fave goodies that you got?
Well, I've had my eye on the cigar band and the Hera chain. I got the really skinny Hera chain that I really love those pieces. But my favorite, and I surprised myself, is the tiny twists. I'm wearing them currently. I have not taken them off since. Oh, I wear them to my shows and I'm even like, oh yeah, you like my jewelry, but you should try these because these are really awesome. I love them. And, you know, they're so sort of your like number one. They're your, it's the Hello Adorn tiny twist. It's the thing, right?
It's the gateway drug. That's right.
It really is. They are so good. I even had a facial the other day and the lady was like, oh, I thought those were two earrings. And I was like, no, actually, it's a twist. Can I show you how it works?
So not only are you doing a great job of reading the script, but you got her to do a great job reading the script.
Incredible.
So, I mean,
exactly,
I just,
exactly.
No notes. Once again, no notes. Just perfect.
And I really love the swell ring. I think I want it. That's going to be my next.
Do you know Lo has the original? No, is it the? No, it's a squiggle. You have the original. Wait, do you have the original swell or the original squiggle?
Original squiggle. I have the original squiggle ring, which it's like, that's I'm not
so
wearing it right
cool.
now because I jammed my finger and it's not fitting on my jammed finger, but it looks unlike other things on our, or it looks like the, what the squiggle ring is now because it's like a little more, it was the first one Britlin made. So it's like a little more chaotic. It's got some high highs, some really low lows. And Britlin is like, do you want me to make you like a new one? Because that one looks insane. And I was like, no, this is like part of the charm. I have the original. I'm never going to get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I keep all my originals.
Yeah. There's something so special about that. I have to ask. Okay. So when Sam was here, my favorite piece from Sam's site, she was wearing these, are they named yet? Do you know what ones I'm talking about? They're like kind of like longer like twig earrings. Like that's like a long post and a little globe on the end, like a globe bead.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't know that they're going to go into production. The thing with those, they're awesome. They'll be at my shows for sure. But those glass beads, I don't know if I can continue to get them reliably. I'm looking at maybe taking a glass class so I can maybe do a little bit of my own. We'll see. But I wanted to incorporate glass for a long time. Glass tube especially. I think glass tubing would be cool if I like squiggled it or knotted it or whatever. So we'll see. But they're really fun because they're kind of mid-century modernish and they're just, yeah.
They remind me of this light fixture that my grandparents have in their house over their stairs. And it's just like pretty, yeah, mid-cench, like funky.
They're yum.
Yeah, they're yum. They're totally yum. So Sam, you've lived in Seattle for like basically 20?
Almost 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah, almost. It's wild. Woo.
So you are very qualified to give a little locals guide, a little insight into what we should do when we visit. What's on your list?
There it is.
Oh my goodness. Sam has
a document
physical list that she's ready to share.
Yeah, it's a great question because actually I prepared a little suggestions list for Jess when she came out. And then my second cousin is visiting from Australia in a couple weeks. And so I like revised the list. So I've got some good ones.
People who take, by the way, people who take it seriously when people come visit to like show their place, that to me separates people right away. Like those people are great people. And yeah, it's awesome.
Well, you can get stuck in the super touristy stuff and maybe you're not into that. You like really want locals' advice, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's so invaluable. It's, and when you can't get it, you end up in all the usual places. And when you can, it makes for, you'll walk away with a way better or a totally different experience.
Totally.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to stop getting in the way. Share the goods. Share the goods.
So Rich, when you come to visit me in Seattle, just let me know because I have so many record shops to mention.
Oh my God.
But I'm not going to do it now. Right. Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and book flights.
I was just going to say, we have lost Rich. He is going to Google Flights right now. Oh, actually, he's completely out of frame. He's in the car. He's on his way.
Yeah, he's left already. I'll see you in 3 hours. So definitely, it's kind of a touristy thing to do, but I've done it several times and it never loses its charm. There's an electric boat that you can rent and drive around South Lake Union and see the city from the water. It's phenomenal. So you can fit like 8 people in this boat and you just like basically putt around. I don't think it goes faster than like 10 knots or something. It's this little boat. It's got a canopy over it and you just go all the way around South Lake Union. You get to see Gasworks Park, the Space Needle. It's really, really fun. Alternatively, you could get a hot tub boat.
What?
So you could hot tub in a boat in the middle of South Lake Union.
You're saying these words together that don't go together.
Oh my goodness.
What?
Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Hot tub in the middle of the lake in a boat. Yep. They're kind of cute and weird. They're almost like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory looking. They're round and then they have this weird round umbrella over them. Yeah, it's pretty
wild.
I'm
looking at them now. This is amazing.
Is this like a common thing? Like, are a lot of people are doing this?
Yeah.
Wow.
For sure.
Okay.
What are you guys up to?
Yeah.
Making trouble, having fun.
Making trouble.
I would suggest definitely hopping on one of the millions of ferries we have and going to an island. The easiest one would be downtown hopping on the Bainbridge Island ferry. You can just walk on and just go over to Bainbridge Island. There's tons of cute shops and restaurants within walking distance of the ferry. So that's a really fun day trip. There's really, really cool Sunday markets that happen. The Fremont Sunday Market, the Ballard Market. There's a lot of local maker markets that happen depending on the time of year. Some of them happen in an area called Bothell, some in Woodinville. Those are always really awesome. There's always tons of sort of maker events happening. Urban Craft Uprising is a good company, sort of group of people who put on events like that. Keeping an eye on what they have going on is cool. Going to shops like Baleen, Venue, they have a lot of local maker sourced stuff. And then Baleen is a jewelry company in Seattle. That actually my mentor, Jennifer, she works for them. She does their production. And Baleen's really, it's yummy. Yeah. And then there's 2 consignment stores, Labels and Editor, that have really awesome consignment clothing. And they're woman owned and just in the local neighborhoods where you could like park your car, walk around, get ice cream, go to the shop. There's a record store down the street for most of them. Yeah.
Super These are fun. Dream days you're talking about right now.
Yeah. There's so many good restaurants. There's so much good food, especially dumplings. There's just so many delicious places to get dumplings from. Dozone is one of our favorites. But then like there's like farm to table, small plate, sort of chef run, not crazy expensive, menu changes weekly kind of vibes. Autumn, Samara, Jolie, Rupi, Homa. I mean, like I could go on and on and on. There's so many. Westwood is a really amazing restaurant because it's right on the water. It's got like a Wes Anderson sort of feel to it. It's got these Adirondack chairs and like striped umbrellas and you sit out and eat oysters and drink champagne and look at the water. Yeah, it's just so, so much cool.
Okay,
yeah.
Sam, you're not moving here. We're actually going to move Hello at Orange to Seattle. It's been decided.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is hard to listen to.
Because there's so many lakes, there's a lot of opportunity for gorgeous views and, you know, watery sort of activity things going on. There's so much hiking. You can drive an hour and you'll be in the desert. You can drive an hour and you'll be in the mountains. You can drive an hour and you'll be on the coast. There's so much weekendy stuff to do. Yeah, nature, hike, trail. I mean, Mount Rainier, you can drive down there and hike it in a day. So yeah, there's just tons of amazing, amazingness.
You were saying there was lots of good views of the water. And to quote Hot Tub Boats, the website, you can soak in the scenery. So I think they've kind of nailed that, right? I mean, that's they know what
that's
they're doing.
Such a rich quote.
They know what they're doing there. Yeah, I'm into it. These people they're speaking my language. First of all, they've got boats that are hot tubs, and then they're using these puns. So I've already made a booking. So that's
what I think the best thing would be if they had a record player and a hot tub in a boat.
Yeah. As long as we're doing impractical things on boats.
And you could spin while you're in the hot tub. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. As long as we're doing impractical things on boats, why would we stop at a hot tub? Let's go all the way.
Why not?
Yeah, honestly, a record player, I feel like, is that not much more of an ask at this point if there's already a hot tub on the boat.
No.
It's not much.
Perfectly reasonable.
If you've already done a hot tub, why not? Why not?
I'm jotting all these notes down. We're going to make a little blog post of all these fun things, all of Sam's wrecks. One of my friends' dads used to live in Seattle, and our favorite thing to do whenever I was in Seattle was to go on Sundays. We would just do like open houses around Seattle in like the bougie neighborhoods and like check out all the cool real estate. We had like, obviously we were like college students and didn't look like we knew what we were doing, but we had this like little, like, it was almost like we were acting and we'd like pretend to be like these like really rich, like affluent Microsoft interns because we were, 19.
You're like, do you think Jeffrey would be able to use this as his office? No, I think it's too small, but possibly we could take that wall down. They're like, what are you guys talking about? No one believes you're here.
And then we think we're out of earshot from the realtors and we're like, look at this loft. Like,
we're like, that's so good.
There's some cool real estate out there.
There's some really amazing houses out here. Amazing.
No doubt. All right. Well, we'll have that all. We'll have the Seattle, Sam's Seattle guide. Sam Seattle.
It's got to be an alliteration.
Alliteration there. Anyway, we'll work on it. It's got to be an alliteration. We'll have that for Seattle. And I think, Lo, we can't.
Sam's Seattle Selects.
Sam Seattle Select. There it was.
Oh, Sam's Seattle Suggestions.
I like that better. That's good.
Okay, we've got two great ones. Okay, it's going to be
Sam Seattle Select Suggestions. There you go.
There it is. Nailed it. We didn't just settle with three S's. We went for the four. Nailed
yeah.
it. Obviously, Lo, we're going to have to go and pre-vet all these things. We can't just be endorsing something we've never done.
You're going to have to try them out.
We're going to have
to
come
visit. You can't endorse them without testing. Agreed.
That's absolutely right. Our journalistic integrity that we don't have is absolutely not going to allow us to do that. So we'll have to do that. But look out for Sam's... I already forgot. Sam Seattle.
Seattle Select Suggestions.
Suggestions. There it is.
Or for short. Yeah, you gotta hold it for four seconds.
Don't skimp on this. If you find yourself not holding for long enough, then you didn't make it all the way through. Okay, all right. Well, I think that brings us into our closing thoughts. Yes.
Yes, we close every episode with a question. A little makes more sense to the get to know you question at the end of an episode instead of the beginning. We figure.
That's right. That's the time.
Question this week is: if you had to spend 1 year living alone in a remote cabin, what would you spend your time doing? And it's going to be really easy for Rich to answer this question because he lives in a remote cabin in the middle of Canada. So Rich, kick it off.
Oh, well, but I'm assuming that I'm not doing work jobs anymore and stuff, right?
No, you are in a remote cabin. You probably don't have Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Okay.
So you just have to move across the street.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. They don't have internet over there. I think I am continuing to listen to a lot of records and then probably working on just making music because no one would have to deal with it. It would, like, no one would have to be subject to the terrible stuff that I make, but it would be fun for me. So that might probably be it.
Sam, what's your answer? What would you be doing?
Well, I had so many questions. I was like, will I have internet? Will I have electricity?
Sam, I love that because I am usually the one who is like, no. I have 20 minutes. Is it on a boat? Does that boat have a hot tub and a record player on it? How do I charge it? Et cetera. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I guess there's no Wi-Fi. So I would be growing my own food. I would be making friends with the animals for sure. I would just love animals. I would be making jewelry still, again, same.
That means you found the career for you because you love it that much.
Honestly, I could be a hermit. And I actually just read an amazing story about a hermit. But I could be a hermit if it weren't for how much I love teaching. That kind of infuses little, like...
That's going to keep you with at least 1 foot in society.
Exactly, in reality.
Yeah. We're going to need you to keep being a teacher for our sake.
Yeah. Okay, growing your own food, friends with animals... making jewelry. Sounds pretty nice.
And ideally, I would have some kind of outdoor soaking tub situation.
Yes. Oh, wow. That's just... Yeah.
You've seen those wood-fired hot tubs? That could work well
exactly.
in Seattle.
Exactly. The Japanese
yeah,
ones?
Yeah, that will not yeah. work here, but that will work. That would not work in northern Minnesota or Wisconsin, but Seattle, you could pull that off.
Sam wants that tub on a boat.
I do.
As previously discussed. All right, Lo, what are you doing out there in the woods with no internet?
Well, so I'm just picturing I'm going to pack my car with just like all the hobby starter kits of all the things, like all the hobbies that I've like sort of started, but I want just like more time
yes.
to really develop. Starting with my percussion, my drums. I want to get really good at drums. And it's proving to be a little hard because, you know, neighbors and everything like that. Kind of what Sam said about having like a garden. I want to have like a canning setup and make some, you know, some salsa, some jams, some different, sure. you know, I want to fill up that, that pantry in the basement of this hypothetical cabin that I'm building. I picture like I'll have like a pantry, you know, with a lot of shelves and all my cans. I want to work on like some infusing alcohol. I want to like practice that a little bit. I'm making kombucha right now, but I want to get better.
Careful. Actually, whatever. Like, you're on. Who cares? Do your thing.
That hobby, if that hobby gets out of control, the other ones might. Yeah. So, careful about that one.
Or you could, like, blow up your house.
True.
Just
true.
Be careful.
I'll bring a manual or something. I'll
okay, good,
it out.
Good, good.
And then, lastly, not really a hobby, but I want to get over my fear of climbing trees. So.
Oh, yeah. Plenty
Ooh,
of time.
I love that.
Plenty of time for immersion
yes.
therapy there. Just a little bit higher each
yeah,
day.
Just immersion one more therapy. Branch.
One
more branch. Yeah. You're like, I think I've been out here for 10 years. And someone says, oh, it's been 12 days, Lo. It's been 12 days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, right. I've only climbed 12 branches. Ever since. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Actually, I knew that because I'm only 5 feet up here. Okay.
Fun.
Yeah,
yeah. I love this for us. It sounds like a really fun adventure. I'll start looking at real estate. I'll start looking at some land.
We'll do like a postcard ring around the rosy when we're off in our remote cabins. Can we get mail delivered, do you think? Or
you know, it's our hypothetical situation.
It just
so.
Takes
pigeon,
7 weeks.
Carry
takes
a pigeon.
Seven to...
I'll train the pigeons.
Yeah.
I'll
okay,
train them.
We'll train the pigeons. That's a good hobby. Training messenger pigeons. When would you ever have time to do that? Finally, now you will.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And make cheese.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah.
When you send a postcard to me, I want you to send me the recipe of how you're doing that, and then I'm going to do that at my cabin.
Okay. Okay, cool.
12
cool,
weeks
cool.
later, Lo will get started.
Trade secrets.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Sam, we cannot thank you enough for joining us. What a pleasure. We knew it would be. It was even more than we expected. So thank you so much.
I could talk for hours to you too. So good. Thank you so much.
We really love you.
It's been amazing.
We really love you.
I love you too. I love you too.
Glad to have Sam in the universe, the Hello Adorn universe and surrounding. So we thank you again. And again, this was a free podcast, guys. This was free. So head to Hello Adorn, head to Sam's stuff. It's free. It was free. Okay. All that information.
Okay. We're going to close today. We're going to say Cal Sydney. Cal Sydney. We're
going to
say Cal Sid. Cal Sydney on three.
We're going to do some calisthenics.
Team, you ready? Cal Sydney on three. Ready?
Yep.
One, two, three.
Cal
Sydney. We did it, sort of, I hope. Okay. All right.
Bye.
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 That was jewelry and stuff. Don't forget to follow and turn on push notifications and set to auto download.
If you liked what you just heard, be sure to leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah, and say something interesting in the review. Don't just talk about the show. Say something fun because we may read it on a future episode.
Yeah, maybe say your favorite moment from the pod, your favorite piece of Hello Adorn jewelry, the best meal you can buy from a fast food restaurant, the recommended cell phone provider in your area, a preferred seed to plant in the spring, maybe the best indie rock album to listen to on Flag Day. Whatever you got, send it our way. Include it in the review. You might hear it right here.
Until
next time.